The following is a Barrett Sports Media production. We do the digging, so you don't have to.
We've got breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Bringing you the biggest stories from the industry you care about. This is the Media Noise Podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, here's your host, Dimitri Ravanos.
Welcome to the debut episode of the Media Noise Podcast here on Barrett Sports Media. I'm Dimitri Ravanos. I'm going to take you through the biggest news of the week, and we got to start by saying the big news is that Steve Kamer is our voiceover guy. Yeah, the same guy that provides voiceovers for the Judge Judy show, Steve Harvey show, Inside Edition, Yes Network. He is now, I think, at the very top of his resume, listing this stupid little industry podcast as his greatest credit. Certainly, we thank him for taking care of that for us. Steve Kamer is his name if you are interested in having him do work for your station. So here is the deal. We are going to go through three big stories in the world of media every single week. Obviously, focusing on the world of sports media as we do here at BSM. I'm going to bring in guests, other writers from the site to talk about some of the stories they wrote that have resonated with you. Today, we're going to talk to Brandon Contis about changes going on in San Francisco. We are going to talk to Ricky Keeler about what Susan Waldman had to say about her place in the New York Yankees organization and also female broadcasters in general. We're going to get into all of that coming up in just a moment. But first, I'm going to combine two stories into one here because the reemergence of, let's say, disgraced broadcasters, although I don't know that that is exactly the right term. I just cannot think of a better one off the top of my head. Really struck a nerve with you guys this week, whether it is talking about the potential return of Craig Carton to the New York radio airwaves or Grant Napier, the former KTHK host out in Sacramento, the former play-by-play voice of the Sacramento Kings, launching his own podcast. And these are two different and interesting stories to me because they really speak to two very different relationships with the media and with the public. Grant Napier was let go after responding to a tweet from DeMarcus Cousins asking how he feels about the Black Lives Matter movement with the phrase, "All Lives Matter." Look, it is not the reason he got fired. The reason he got fired by the Kings and then essentially had to be fired by their radio partner is when you have former players all saying we are not surprised, and Matt Barnes going so far as to call the guy a closet racist. Former players all from across different eras, by the way. How do you bring that guy back to your organization? And if your play-by-play partner, the play-by-play partner your whole station is built around, fires a dude, how do you bring him back to your station? Like, I get the corner that these guys were painted into. Grant Napier is coming back with his own podcast, or has come back, I should say, with his own podcast called If You Don't Like That, and he seems to be leaning into the conservative sports talk realm, which, look, obviously there is money in. I think if he is going to do the PC culture run amok, and I'm here to rail against cancel culture, podcasting is probably the best place for you. I mean, I think it is going to be really hard to rail against what has happened to the media and then go begging the media for a job. But I don't blame anyone who does that, because obviously the toughest part of trying to make money off a podcast is the money-making part. It's hard to go out and sell these things. It's hard to go out and convince advertisers that an audience that is literally a fraction of the size of who you used to talk to is worth investing in. Yes, they might be more dedicated. Maybe Grant Napier is only going to have 2,000 or 3,000 listeners, but those are 2,000 to 3,000 people that are going to put their money into anyone who is putting their money into Grant Napier. That is very much what you go out looking to sell when you are selling a podcast. That doesn't mean it's an easy thing to do. So look, I completely disagree with Grant Napier. I don't feel sorry for him losing that position in Sacramento at all. But at the same time, I wish him well, because this is a major undertaking. Trying to own your own bit of media and go out and sell it is always a tough thing. And I think the more people that are successful at doing it, the better it is for the industry. Now, Craig Carton, on the other hand, is a dude that I think probably needs radio to be the kind of star he is capable capable of being. And I think WFAN has known that all along. Obviously, at Intercom, and particularly in the New York building in Intercom, there have been significant changes in leadership since the time Craig Carton was let go. So you can't say, like, without any reasonable doubt, right, that this was a long play, so to speak, by the folks at WFAN. But if you look at what has happened to the afternoon show since Mike Francesa retired the first time and then retired again, it always seems like there was this element of keeping the seat warm. There was never really a strong investment in saying, hey, the CMB show is our new afternoon thing. We are going to incubate and cultivate this show and turn it into a monster when the afternoon show opens up again, when Francesa, semi-retires the second time. You know, you put in Evan and Joe, or Joe and Evan, rather, excuse me. And certainly there is a lot of excitement about what Evan can become, but Joe spends most of the show talking about how much he doesn't want to be there in a year from now. So it always sort of felt like WFAN was planning to wait out to see what was going to happen with Craig Carton. Certainly nobody there had the ability to look into the future and see he would be released this early into his sentence. My point in saying this is all of the hype around 97.5 The Fanatic's interest in bringing Carton down to Philly, that's all it is. It was hype. Like, FAN was never going to let this guy leave New York. I don't think the New York media was ever going to let this guy leave New York, despite the personal problems back and forth between him and Peter Rosenberg. I feel like the realistic debate here was going to be which New York sports station Carton showed up on when he was ready to return, or I guess maybe when the media world was ready for him to return. Was it going to be FAN or ESPN New York? And it seems like by all reports that after this documentary airs, he is going to be installed, or at least it is going to be announced that he is part of the WFAN lineup again. So I'm going to bring my guy Ricky Keeler in. Ricky, you wrote this story after listening to Mike Greenberg's I'm Interested podcast on ESPN, where he's talking to Susan Waldman. And I think if you're a Yankee fan, I don't know that adore Susan Waldman is the right word, but I think she does hold a special place in the heart of fans of the team, not only because she's been with the team for so long, but she is sort of a goofy presence. And I say that as part of a package, right? Like, you can't imagine the weirdness that is John Sterling without the goofiness that is Susan Waldman.
No, exactly. It's like John and Susan are essentially a member of the Yankee fans family. It was very candid what she said, because I do think there are people out there, and you could tell by the tweets that we got from some people, that like don't really feel like they'd rather have somebody else other than Susan. And I've been loving these I'm Interested podcasts with Mike Greenberg. They're very candid. The guests share a lot, and Mike shares a lot of his personal story. So it was very candid to hear Susan say that, because I do agree with her what she's saying. Like, at some point, like, we have to consider the merits for making it, like, yeah, it's great women are getting a chance to do these roles, but it's about their talent. We're seeing some really talented women in the field that can do both play-by-play and the sideline.
So for people that are not familiar, what Susan Waldman said is she believes that she is tolerated in the Yankee booth, not accepted. And I want to make it clear, because just to hear that, you could misconstrue it to the Yankees don't really accept her, or John Sterling doesn't really accept her. She's talking specifically about the fans and how the fans react to hearing a female voice on a major sports broadcast. Someone in the Twitter comments when we posted that story said that they wondered if it was Susan or Doris Burke that was the first sort of universally beloved female broadcaster. And I would argue, like, to Susan's point, I don't think we're at universally beloved yet. I think there are still guys that really push back on hearing a woman's voice on a man's sport.
Yeah, I mean, it's sadly, even though it's 2020, that's where we're in. I mean, Doris Burke would be one. Linda Cohn, I know, was brought up in a comment. I mean, she's been in the news a lot lately. I would argue we're getting closer to Maria Taylor.
Yeah.
Because Maria Taylor is doing some great things in many different sports, and she's loved in the NBA community, in college football, college basketball, et cetera. So we're getting to the point where that's becoming an established voice on these sports, and people, I think we're getting closer to the point where they don't look at gender and say, she's really good. I'm going to keep listening to her because she brings knowledge. And Susan Waldman does bring knowledge to the table. She's the one that interviews the players after the game. She's the one that gives that insight with the players. So I think from a Yankee fan's perspective, she does that more than John does. John's known for the play-by-play. Susan gets all the good interviews after the game.
Yeah, and I mean, look, this is where we'll wrap. I think one thing that a lot of younger people don't realize, like when you think of sports radio, local sports radio in this country, you think about WFAN, and she covered this a little bit, her time at WFAN on that podcast with Greeny. But, like, it's very easy to forget she is the first ever voice anyone ever heard on WFAN. Like, it is – look, where we are with the way people are so negative and eager to be negative on social media, I guess it shouldn't surprise me. But, man, like, Yankee fans that have a problem with Susan Waldman, learn your New York sports media history.
Yankee fans and Yankee New York sports fans in general have a problem with anything that pops up. It's just look at the Yankees playoff run, it'll tell you that. But nevertheless, I think you look at what Susan Waldman even said. I mean, think about, she kind of came up with the idea to have a radio station have a beat writer.
Right.
I mean, I was interested hearing about how, like, you would rely on beat writers, who obviously beat writers aren't going to give you everything because they want you to read the paper, or in this case, check out their article or something like that. So for Susan to come up with that idea on the on WFAN, and now we're seeing the Sweeney Murdys and different WFAN personalities be beat writers. I mean, now you have to credit Susan Waldman for that too.
All right, so now I bring in my guy, Brandon Contis, and whenever there is some sort of project at Barrett Sports Media where we are discussing the news, usually you and I end up having the conversation here. We are talking ratings, sort of. Certainly, ratings are part of the catalyst for the news coming out of 95.7 The Game, but Joe Fortenbaugh, our buddy, goes on to ESPN, and kudos to everybody at Intercom San Francisco for not just thinking about this, you know, in the micro of we have to replace a morning guy. They use this to completely rejigger the whole station.
It's an interesting time to do that, just because we're coming off the last 6 months where we're kind of seeing the industry, whether it changed just for those 6 months or is going to change for the entire future. We see ESPN Radio, they're going the way of chopping down their shows and shortening shows and focusing more on podcastable content and podcasts in general. And here you see 95.7 The Game. They have three hosts in the morning. They have three hosts in the midday. They have three hosts in the afternoon. That's nine hosts for three day parts. They could have shortened some of those shows, and they could have even created more midday shows. So I do wonder, like, did they see an uptick in digital listening? Are they still really focused on just the traditional morning, midday, and afternoon shows? But they could have just tried to bring in somebody to replace Fortenbaugh, but they did revamp their entire lineup, and it's an interesting time to do that.
Kate Scott had a go-round at KNBR, and it just, for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. I understand that the realities of the pandemic sort of made it hard to do a traditional national search, but this is a top five market in the country. I do wonder what the logic is in bringing in a local retread.
Yeah, and she was there for a while as well. With her coming to 95.7 The Game now, maybe they see something like they can get more out of her than KNBR was able to do so. So she's certainly familiar with the market. The market is familiar with her. And I find that really interesting as well, the amount of markets that do have radio hosts bounce from one station to the competing station at some point, because for a while in New York, we didn't really see that. But you look at San Francisco, and Damon Bruce bounced from one to the other. Papa bounced from one to the other. Now you're seeing Kate Scott as well. So I find that interesting when you take one person from one station and you bring them to the competing station.
So KNBR, you just released the story about the ratings in San Francisco, and KNBR has a sizable lead in the target demo over 95.7 The Game. Rather than look at the shows, I want to talk about something that wasn't there. Do you think the game's suffered from this not being another one of those dominant Warrior seasons? Like, certainly they would have had a boost if the Warriors were part of the bubble.
Yeah, they must have. They definitely must have lost out on that. But yeah, you see KNBR bounced back a little bit, and I think they were helped out by the San Francisco Giants.
And now the
49ers. Because if you go back to the winter book, both KNBR and 95.7 The Game were fairly similar. They were competing pretty well against each other. Then in the spring, both stations drop off, and we've kind of exhausted the legitimate excuses for why that's the case throughout the entire industry. And then I do think that the fact that the San Francisco Giants are playing over the summer and they're playing fairly well, I think that helps KNBR. And that just shows you that maybe if the Golden State Warriors were playing and playing well, that would have helped 95-7 the game similarly.
All right, we got to say a big thank you to Ricky Keeler and obviously to Brandon Contis. I love having guys like them writing for the site, guys that really love this industry and have a real interest in telling stories about the people that make it work. For next week, obviously at Barrett Sports Media, the obvious story we are keeping an eye on is what is going to happen with the likely layoffs coming to ESPN. A less obvious story I think is worth keeping an eye on is what the NFL is going to do with the Tennessee Titans. On its face, it's not a media story, but remember, this is a team that was in the AFC Championship game last year. If a season is taken away from them, or if more games are, you know, forced to be whatever, forfeited, canceled, that's going to affect some major national windows. So I am definitely paying attention to what happens there. Until we talk to you next week, in the meantime, I'm at Dimitri Ravanis on Twitter, or if you want to reach out directly, DimitriTheGreek@gmail.com. We'll talk to you next week on another edition of the Media Noise Podcast.
This concludes our broadcast day.
Thanks for listening to the Media Noise Podcast with Dimitri Ravanis. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, and check back soon for new episodes. To stay up to date on the latest sports media happenings, visit BarrettSportsMedia.com.